This is an eavesdropping conversation. I am Juliet Fraser, and today I'm talking to Silvia Tarozzi. Welcome, Silvia. So nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Ciao.
Ciao. So I'd like to begin by asking you, how do you describe yourself as a musician?
I'm for sure a classical trained musician because I'm a violinist. I had my classical studies. I'm a musician very much interested in contemporary experimentation, contemporary languages in music, but not only in art, in dance. And I'm a musician that has a non-conventional path that start from classical training to go toward composition somewhere, songs, and collaborations with composers, experimenting things and improvising.
I'd really like to hear a bit more about two of those things in particular. Perhaps first a bit more about this unconventional path that you talk about. Can you tell us a bit more about your journey towards the way that you're working today?
I will try to be short because it's a long journey and it didn't end. Yeah, my training started quite when I was a child, but with the singing and with studying guitar, like folk guitar in my town. But pretty soon I went to the conservatory to study violin. And I like it a lot, but really very much. And to discover classical music and to do orchestra with the others was really amazing. While studying, because it's 10 years in Italy, it was 10 years of studies, I was growing and also not completely happy with the perspective to become a classical violinist in terms of work, career, and all. So my motivation were falling down at the same time, then I would need to be more focused and motivated, in fact, because it's hard also to study at the conservatory. So at the same time, I was studying at the university, but I was beginning the university, and I studied something related to medicine.
Uh-huh.
So not exactly to become a doctor, but to become a sort of kinesiologist. I don't know exactly.
Exactly, kinesiologist.
Yeah, so I had for a few years, 3 years, I had a training at the same time in music and in the hospitals, like, or in university, studied these kind of things. And so it was interesting, but of course there were like two parallel things that were not so much dialoguing one to the other, but it made me have a larger vision of what can be life, no? Also working life. And also I met very interesting people in different situations, like one hand doctors and carers, but in the other hand, also people healed with that had, for example, accidents, or they were born with handicaps. And I like it a lot, but at the same time, it was clear after probably 1 year of studies that I want to be a musician. I wanted to be a musician, but not to go in the orchestra or play only classical music. And also because I was listening so many different music and discovering was so exciting. So I studied after the conservatory, I also practiced and studied Baroque music, Baroque violin, and contemporary repertoire with my teacher that was a specialist of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Paris. Because I'm Italian, I live in Bologna, but at one point I wanted also to have the possibility to explore more abroad and a place where more music, more people was based. And it was a nice and good idea because I could spend a lot of time listening to different music concerts, and go to see, for example, a lot of contemporary dance and some theater, nice theater pieces, and of course, nice restaurants, and walk around and go biking. And Paris is incredible, no? Mm-hmm. So, and it was a sort of period, very, very, very nice and useful for me. It was 5 years. I met, for example, the ensemble Daedalus, that is still my ensemble in contemporary repertoire music. I already met in Italy Deborah, but she moved to Paris 1 year before me, and to be there together, it meant to develop a lot of projects together in duo, and we still are playing together.
And you're talking about Deborah Walker there, yes?
I'm talking about cellist Deborah Walker. We have a duo since 20 years now. And because we were there together, we really had the possibility to meet composers like Pascal Criton, like Tom Johnson, like Eliane Radig, and to explore, for example, together also improvisation and play with different people. I was studying Baroque music also there in the Paris Conservatory. But this time was useful also because I had a lot of fun. Fun is useful. And also because it was more clear, much more clear for me at the end, what really was interesting for me to do, not only to listen, no? Mm. Listen is one thing, but what I want to do.
Mm.
I started, I think, to understand better, and also to understand that it was possible not to make a career, but to have a path and to work with music that was not classical or not specific in a style or gender. This was very, very important for me.
And what do you think the qualities or the characteristics of this way of working that you found are? I mean, maybe it's many different qualities, but do you think it's possible to describe what it is that you're looking for in your creative projects?
Yes, there are different things. One for sure is the pleasure that I have to work directly with composers.
Mm.
And with composers that, of course, I feel that I have the possibility to share with, no? Based on my own means and characteristic.
Yes.
So this is, it's really a privilege because you meet people that had a long experience and has an idea, for example, of sound or of music, and to can share with them, it's beautiful. And it's something that I feel I can do it. I'm pretty good, I think. I mean, I'm pretty good in the terms, not that there are musicians that are so technically also so good that they can be really the interpreter of any kind of music. I can't, but I think I'm pretty sure that with some people, some composers, I can bring something to them that makes the encounter important for both, I think.
Mm.
And I learned a lot. I'm still learning a lot. And another thing is that I discovered by playing music of other people and also by teaching to a children choir, for example, I can also make my own music, for example. This is something that I didn't consider so much. Some years ago. But now I'm very inspired by the freedom and the creativity of some of the composers that I met, like, for example, Eliane Radig, that worked all her life long in a sort of very precise direction, even without to have very big recognizance. For a long time. Or Pascal Criton that creates her own music, like with this vision that is really large. At the same time, the music is precise, but the vision, no, the philosophy, she comes from some sort of thinking that is larger than only music.
Yes.
Another very important for me was, and is Philip Körner, that is one of the musicians of the Fluxus movement, because yes. Philip is also someone that even if he's going to have, I think, 9 years this 2023, but he's still like young inside as when he was probably 15 or 14, you know? So the way to consider that you are free to explore and that you have possibilities. You don't need to force yourself in one form and one structure. And this is a big learning.
I was just thinking maybe it's that sense of playfulness and curiosity that that Philip still has, and that and that we look to try and keep as performers, so that we don't lose our energy somehow.
Exactly, and this and I think it was for me the connection was with the children choir, because when you work with children, especially in group, you see the same attitude, and I was trying to bring and to cultivate this attitude with them. And seeing that it was the same pleasure somewhere, no? And the same freedom for the 4 or 5 years old children and for Philip at 90. This was really, no? Amazing.
That's wonderful. So you've actually already answered my second question, really, which is about collaboration. I think you've told us already what it means to you and some of the important collaborators that you've worked with. So you mentioned Eliane Radigue and Pascal Criton and Philip Körner as well.
And I didn't mention Pauline Oliveros. That
of
is
course.
Another
yes.
Very important, another free spirit.
Yes, yes.
So I also had the chance to work with her and to prepare a recording and to meet her and to play for her. And this was, she's another very important figure for the music and for the thinking about music.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she reframed how we make it, certainly, but how we think about it, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. And she also dedicated a lot of her work to create communities.
Mm.
She tell that very often, that she was more interested in creating community than in career,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear a bit about what's exciting you at the moment in your practice, perhaps either specific projects or, since we're talking a bit about how we think about music, if there are particular ideas or more general ways of working that are exciting you.
Yes, and particularly now, because I'm planning a new recording, a new album of my own music. So it's a period that it's very much exciting in terms also of thinking about how to do things, why to do things in a certain way instead of another, and also what is possible, what is not possible, what is more interesting to do or what not. Because I think that my approach is really, because I'm not a trained composer, is to not close the doors before to see what there is in the other outside, no? Outside. Because I don't have a precise style that I'm interested in. I'm very much charmed by the song's word, because it's something that reminds probably me to the beginning of my approach with the music, and also because I think, as the most part of the population, I listened to a lot of songs when I was a teenager, and I was so touched by a lot of them. So it's also, songs are powerful, emotionally powerful, you know. Mm-hmm. But what I'm interested in is since the first album I did, and now probably more, is to see if I can do something in with songs. Songs is allowed, you know, but where I'm not stuck at all in the ideas of what a song is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on some instrumental pieces that are actually a lot much more long and developed than the part that are sung, for example. I'm curious to see how far I can go with that, you know. I'm really excited to make them dialogue with something that is only, for example, a melody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a voice that sings a melody.
Mm-hmm.
Not to do everything in the same chest. It's not that, no? It's like more to see if that openness creates something different in the listeners also, you know?
Yes.
That if people can make different, listen differently to the one and to the other.
Yes. Do you think we're more open-minded as listeners when it comes to the category of song because it's broader, because there's more variety within it, or because it's been there through history? Is there something about song that is helpful almost?
A song is can we tell basics somewhere?
Yeah, basics.
It's basic.
It's a simple thing.
Simple. Mm. Anybody can do a song. Mm. No, I don't want to tell that anybody can do a good song, but a song, you know. And this is a very democratic somewhere,
yeah.
Because to compose something more structured as with an orchestration, a precise orchestration with a precise harmony, and all that. You probably need to be much more trained, or you can, of course, now you know, we know now we can do any kind of experiment with electronic or MIDI sound. We know, but I mean to conceive a music mark much more structured, you need to can think about and to have tools.
Mm.
But to just imagine or invent a song is a different process.
Mm. Oh, that's so interesting. Can you tell us a bit about what you might be sharing with us when you perform in the Eavesdropping Festival on the 30th of March?
Yes, I think that I will bring something related to what we are telling about.
Yes.
We're speaking about, because, yeah, I want to bring a sort of, of course it will be a solo, but I will bring some pre-recorded sounds that I'm working on, trying to make possible to have this sort of unbalanced balance between some songs and some experimentations in sound, you know? So something will be more acoustic, but I will also bring some pre-recorded sounds that are from MIDI instruments or from field recordings, from other instruments that I pre-recorded, what I call a sort of weird karaoke.
Weird karaoke, brilliant. Are we allowed to sing with you?
Yeah, please. If you feel during the concert, we rehearse if you want, or we don't rehearse and you just enter.
And so is this some of the material that might end up on your album? Are you planning to bring some of that to Cafe Otto to experiment with it?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, for sure.
Great. I can't wait to hear it. Thank you so much, Sylvia. It's really interesting to hear the way that you're working and to hear a bit about your story as well. So thank you so much for speaking with me.
Oh, thank you to you, Juliet, for hosting and for inviting me.
Yeah, my pleasure. I look forward to hearing your performance. Thank you. Join us for Sylvia's performance at the Eavesdropping Festival on Thursday, the 30th of March at Cafe Otto. And you can find out more about what we do by visiting www.eavesdropping.london. You have been listening to an eavesdropping conversation. Our new jingle was composed for us by Iza Otoya.